Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And on the line is Radio.com Sports Betting Insider Nick Kostos. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Nick, thanks for joining us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram hotline, home of the real deal.
Morning, Nick.
What's going on, guys? Happy Football Friday to you guys. Unfortunately, I'm not going to make the case to take either Loyola or Ball State in any bets today, but it's still great to join you guys on these great airwaves in Chicago.
Good research there, yeah, Nick.
Loyola football unbeaten, just so you know. Non-existent.
I love it. You get some Sister Jean magic in there. Like, I'm feeling Loyola this year. I love it.
Go Ramblers. All right, Nick. So help us out. The Bears win total is so confounding to me. And it really makes me hesitate because I know the Bear fans are going to pound the Bears when they've had a good year, and certainly that's the case in Vegas. But why are they unimpressive to the fine folks in the desert?
Well, I think you have to look at a number of factors, and this win total is actually ticked up to 9.5, juiced towards the under -140, over +120. And look, I get it. Like, fans in Chicago are starving for a winner with their football team, and they're coming off a 12-4 season, and I get that Bears fans are really excited and bullish about this season. But when I think you actually, like, take a step back and look at the Chicago Bears team, I think there is some real reason for pessimism and real reason to think that there is regression coming. First off, the 12-4 record last year. This team is not going to go 12-4 this year unless Mitch Trubisky takes a major step forward along with this offense. And I'm not saying Mitch Trubisky is going to be terrible, but I think he's going to have to take a big step forward for this team to go 12-4 again. And I just don't see that happening for them to even go 10-6. When you look at the division, this division is excellent. Like, I think the Minnesota Vikings are a Super Bowl caliber team. The Packers' ceiling is to win a Super Bowl. I don't know if they'll get there. I don't really like the head coach, but we acknowledge with Aaron Rodgers, the ceiling is a Super Bowl championship. The Detroit Lions are going to be one of the worst last place teams in the NFL this year with Matthew Stafford at quarterback, and I actually like that defense in Detroit. So when you look at the division's very tough. The defense is likely to regress. Defense is less sticky year to year than offense. So it's unlikely that they're going to force as many turnovers this season. I know that the names on defense are great. I'm not saying the defense is going to be bad, but in all likelihood, they are going to take a little bit of a step back. The whole Matt Nagy kicking situation this year has come down to me to an unbelievable degree. I think the guy's kind of out of his mind. Like, this obsession is weird that he's got with a Cody Parkey 43-yard miss against Philadelphia. So when you add all these factors up, especially that it's at 9.5, there's only one way to look. And unfortunately for Bears fans, it's under that 9.5.
All right, Nick, you mentioned Mitch Trubisky. There's a lot of love for him in Vegas over his chances to win the Most Valuable Player award. I don't get it. Can you explain it?
Well, I think that people saw it, and it was 200-1, and they look at what, you know, Trubisky was able to accomplish last year in terms of the wins and losses, and that kind of thing stands out. So I can't really bang on people for taking it, like, at an outrageous price, but where it's hovering right now, I believe, like, a couple days ago, it was, like, 30-1. I mean, absolutely no chance, like, 0% chance, because in order for someone to win the MVP, got to be a quarterback. Trubisky checks that box, but you got to have, like, a winning record, right, or win, like, 11, 12 games, probably get a first-round bye. I don't see that happening with the Bears this year, and I don't see Trubisky putting up those huge numbers this year that would merit an MVP award. So like I said, I kind of get the perspective of betting him when the number's outrageous. Like, the number should not have been 200-1, but where it's at now, the guy is not winning MVP this year. I mean, get him back at North Carolina, and he could win MVP of the ACC, maybe over Trevor Lawrence, but that is not happening this year in the NFL.
I hate to say it, but Trevor Lawrence might be a better pick. That kid looks awful good to me. He's a Heisman kid. All right. So do you actually bet on preseason football? I mean, some people love it.
Hell yeah.
Well, who the hell's going to play? And how do you figure out if your third string's better than their third string?
Well, this is kind of – so there's a couple different ways to answer this because it's so wacky that you kind of have to approach each game individually, right? And you really have to handicap these games and really read a lot of the reports coming out of practices. Like, for instance, like in last night's Jaguars-Dolphins game, I took the Jaguars in the first half as a pick'em. It ended up cashing. They were up 7-6 at halftime because I knew the Jaguars for the first time this preseason were going to play all their starters in the first half. Like, they hadn't played Foles or Fournette or anyone in the first two preseason games. So then they were going to roll everyone out there for the first half. Jaguars are a better team than the Miami Dolphins, no question about it. So I figured, you know, they'll pull all the starters. Gardner Minshew from Washington State will go in to play the second half. I want no part of that full game line for the Jaguars, but I'm going to take them in the first half because I think their first team players are better than the Dolphins. So that was my kind of thought process behind that bet, which did actually end up cashing. But overall in the preseason, I think the best thing that you can do, especially in weeks 1, 2, and 4, maybe not necessarily week 3 where the starters play the lion's share of the minutes, you got to look at quarterback depth, right? Because most likely the starting quarterback is not playing a lot in these games. So teams that have good second and third string quarterbacks are actually better bets than, you know, a team that has a star quarterback but not a lot of great quarterback depth behind them. I look at this Patriots-Panthers game from last night, and look, Brady and Cam are both great, but the Patriots' backups are a lot better than the Panthers' backups. Jarrett Stidham from Baylor and Auburn has been a star in this preseason. Will Greer has really struggled. So those are the kind of things that you look at, I think. Quarterback depth, and then you can kind of handicap it on a game-by-game basis. Who's going to be playing? How long are they playing? Which players are better than which players? And that's how I generally arrive at the preseason wagers.
Talking with Radio.com sports betting insider Nick Kostos. And Nick, when you look at college football kicking off tomorrow, big game is Miami and Florida. How do you see that one coming? And any other matchups in the next several days or so, as they say, I think next Thursday is a big night for college football as well, that you would recommend?
Oh, yeah. Well, for tomorrow, I mean, everyone's going to bet on this game if you're into betting on sports because it's the first college football game of the season. So I've already got my bet locked in, and I've got the Miami Hurricanes catching a touchdown. This line fluctuating right now in between, like, Florida -7 or Florida -7.5. And while Felipe Franks, the Florida quarterback, guys, was impressive to end last season, I'm kind of going to throw out that win that they had over Michigan in that bowl game when Florida stomped Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. Michigan had its soul snatched out, Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom style, by Ohio State. Nothing to play for in that bowl game, completely irrelevant. And people are talking about that Felipe Franks performance like it was like Aaron Rodgers against the Falcons in the playoffs in 2011. Like, I'm not buying it. I think Florida's overvalued heading into the season, and I actually think Miami has a pretty high ceiling this year with a new head coach in Manny Diaz, new guy running the offense in Dan Enos, and a redshirt freshman starting quarterback in Jaren Williams. I give Miami a chance to win this game outright, so I will sprinkle a little bit on the Miami Hurricanes money line, and I think Miami, with that great linebacking core, falls inside this number and covers that spread tomorrow in Orlando.
Let's talk baseball. The Cubs, obviously atop the division right now. Do you think they stay there? Will they win the division? Will they remain in first place? What are your thoughts on them as a possible candidate to upset the Dodgers, who seem like they've run away with it?
Well, when it comes to the Cubs, and I know that they're on this win streak right now, and look, baseball's crazy, right? A couple days ago, it's 12-11. Last night, it's 1-0. So baseball has just been nuts this season. I really worry about this bullpen in a big spot for the Cubs, and I actually prefer the Cardinals' bullpen to the Cubs' bullpen. Also, I'm somewhat of a narcissist, and before the season, I picked the Cardinals to win the division, so I kind of have to stick with that. But I do think, guys, being here locally in New York, and I am a Yankees fan, full disclosure, so I don't necessarily root for the Mets. Actually, to be honest, I kind of root against them because they hate us. But anyway, the Mets are on this great streak right now, right? And Mets fans are really excited. And it's given New York a jolt of electricity that both teams are in the playoff race, obviously, coming down the stretch. I just don't see it for this Mets team because I don't trust the bullpen and I don't trust the manager, Mickey Callaway. So even if the Cubs don't win the NL Central, and they are the slight favorite right now to win the division, Cardinals around +130, and I don't think the Brewers are going to be in it at this point. I do think the Cubs will still get in as a wild card. Now, obviously, the Cubs last year had game 163 and then a wild card, lost both. This could potentially be Joe Maddon's last year, obviously, as a lame duck here. So in terms of the Dodgers, I don't even know if the Cubs will get to face the Dodgers. I am not liking the Cubs in the National League playoffs, unfortunately, guys, this season.
Sticking with baseball, before we let you go, Nick, when you look at the American League Cy Young race here in Chicago, obviously Lucas Giolito has had a terrific season. I don't know if he's going to win it, but who is the favorite for that award?
Oh, man, I'm a huge fan of Giolito, and I think that if we're giving it out, and look, and I know that there are a lot of pitchers that are potentially, you know, in line for this award. Giolito has been so good this season and so absolutely impressive to me. Because of the wins and losses, and this is kind of just like what drives me nuts about this whole thing in general, are we going to give the AL MVP award to someone other than Mike Trout? Like, is this the kind of thing that's actually potentially going to happen again? Giolito, for my money, has been one of the best pitchers, if not the best pitcher in the American League this season. I have loved watching him this season, and I love what the White Sox have got going on. So, you know, I don't know if he's going to win it, but Lucas Giolito has been a guy that I've loved watching this season for the White Sox, and that trade looks like obviously a huge win for the Chicago White Sox, that trade they made with the Nationals however long ago that was.
All right. Boy, I'll tell you what, there's a lot there, and we appreciate your energy and your time, and thanks a ton for jumping on with us, Nick.
Thanks,
Nick. Look forward to talking to you.
Great talking to you.
Appreciate it, guys. Let me toss out one other one there for you, because you asked about another college football game that mm-hmm. I like. I like Auburn laying the 3 next Saturday against the Oregon Ducks against Justin Herbert and company. Auburn's the better team in that spot, only favored by a field goal. That's another one that I'm looking at, Auburn over Oregon.
Good stuff.
All right, thanks, Nick. See you, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys.
That was Radio.com Sports betting insider Nick Kostos. And, wow, I mean, that's a man with a lot of energy. And Insider Calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Thank you, Nick.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.